When I grew up as a little boy, it was a custom in the tradition that I grew up in to experience the sacrament of confession or reconciliation or penance. That is, going to confession. I remember as a little boy, many times during the year, I went to a parochial school and we'd come down to the church and the two priests would be there, Father Gallagher and Father McDonald. The two priests who had the greatest influence on my life. It's one of the reasons I'm a priest today. And they would hear confessions. And we did that at different times of the year, particularly during Lent. And I remember as a little boy going into the confessional booth and this kind of shadowy area you'd look through and the priest would be there and you'd confess your sins. And, you know, I'd say things like I was mean to my friend, and I disobeyed my mom. Give you a penance and say some prayers. And we do that quite often. When I was ordained a priest and was experiencing it in a different way, that is, hearing confessions, folks would come forward and confess their sins, many times confessing things that were about their own life, individual things that they had done. And I found that experience, to be honest with you, to be a very powerful sacramental experience. To be with people in that kind of relationship. I did a lot of youth work back then when I was a young priest. Did a lot of work with teenagers, and we had these retreats, something like the happening weekends that we have in our diocese. And one of the traditions was on Saturday night there would be a service of reconciliation, and the priest would be available to the youth to sort of spend some time, and they could come and talk and celebrate confession. Reconciliation. And it was not unusual to finish that about 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. I remember that. As a young priest, I was able to do that and looked forward to it. But oftentimes what I've recognized over the years is, and folks, I know it may not be as evident, but there's folks here at St. Paul's who come to confession, who contact me occasionally and say, like to come in and celebrate that sacrament one-on-one, and we do. But the most common way that we experience the confession of our sins is on Sundays when we say the confession of sin and the priest gives absolution. The difference there is we're not speaking our sins individually, but we're sort of thinking of them and asking God's forgiveness. One of the things I've noticed, though, over the years from that experience is, and I don't know if this kind of meets your experience, but oftentimes when we're confessing sins, they're very much individual things. So I did this, I did this, I didn't do this. The sense of, you know, confessing personal sins. One of the things I don't think we've developed in our spirituality, I'm not sure the church has helped us to develop this, this is an observation, is more the idea of what I'll call corporate sin. By corporate sin, I don't mean the sins of ExxonMobil or IBM. What I mean is the sins, the hurt of the community in which we live, the world in which we live. We can see that sometimes in our world, but we can feel disconnected from it. The community suffers from hurt. It suffers from sin, poverty, oppression, violence, racism, bigotry, hatred. It's there. And sometimes we can feel not a part of that. What Jesus did in his life, I would suggest on this Good Friday, is to try to make us aware that sin is not just about individual sin, but it's about a need for our creation to seek healing, the corporate sin that we're a part of. Jesus was doing that throughout his ministry. You know, Jesus had a particular way of relating to people. And it wasn't just to individual people, but I would suggest to the world in which he lived. Remember, For Jesus, sin was our holding on to things that prevented us from being and seeing ourselves as God sees us. So often individually, what Jesus was doing in his ministry was calling people to see themselves as he saw them. Calling people to see themselves as God sees them. Stepping out of that lifestyle, stepping out of that experience of your life that prevents you from seeing this beautiful creature that God has created for us, that God has created in you. Some suggest that if you look at the ministry of Jesus in the scriptures, he basically preached and healed, preached and healed, preached and healed, preached and healed, preached and healed. That was his ministry, healing. We can see it in individuals, but what Jesus was also doing was confronting the sin of his time, confronting the racism, the poverty, the oppression, the violence, the bigotry of his time, and calling all of creation to see itself in the way that God sees it. Reminding us of how much God does love us. Remember, Jesus didn't come to change God's mind about us. Jesus came to change our minds about God. So, parenthetically, for me, Jesus did not die on the cross because God, his Father, needed blood to be shed because he didn't like us too much. Our God is not a God who doesn't like us and needed Jesus to shed his blood so God would change God's mind. That, to me, is not the meaning of Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus came to show us how much God does love us. And Jesus calls us to enter into this suffering to transform our world, to make a difference in our world and in our lives, to the point that Jesus was taken to the cross, and the cross calls us to that. Jesus took on the sin of the world. Jesus took on the hurt of the world. Jesus took on the cross and gave his life for that. And we're called, I would suggest, to do likewise, to give of our lives, to suffer, to change this world. When I say the word suffer, I'm going to say the word suffer for a second and just give you a few seconds. Think, what does that word mean to you when you hear the word suffer? What does suffer mean to you? I like to suggest, during Lent, I've had a practice of spiritual reading every day, and well, I do that every day anyway, but during Lent a little more intensely, and I heard this great definition of suffering. You may not agree with it, it may seem naive, but it's this. Suffering is whenever I'm not in control. Suffering is whenever I'm not in control. We have a need to control. We have a need to hold on. We have a need to keep things as we want them to be. And yet what Jesus is inviting us individually and inviting the community, all of creation, is to let go of that control and to live into the wonder of who Jesus calls us to be. And so to say, yes, we're called to suffer with Christ, meaning we're called to let go of some of that control in our lives. It seems to me, I know many people who are so taken with control that their lives are so difficult. You can just see it in their lives. I would suggest that perhaps was the great sin of Judas. Judas needed to control. Jesus could not accept this Jesus as Jesus was. To the point where that need to control, that need to betray Jesus, sucked the life out of Judas. The tragedy of his taking his life. So in control. That need to control can take our life. The disciples, on the other hand, while they may not totally have understood what was going on, they were able to let go. And it was a process. Yes, many of the disciples were not there as Jesus hung on the cross. They had a tough time with that. But eventually, in this process of their lives, they came to understand who Jesus was and what he was calling us to. So on this Good Friday, I'd like to suggest to you that idea that when we think about our own lives and our own need to confess sin, that we see ourselves as part of the community, that we see the hurt in this world. And how can we change this world when we see poverty, when we see racism, when we see bigotry, when we see oppression, when we see violence? How can we suffer to let go of what we hold on to live into the dream and the vision that God has for us, not just individually, but for this wondrous world? Does that make sense on this Good Friday? To see the cross not just as Jesus dying this incredibly tragic and gory death just because blood needed to be shed, but to see it rather as Jesus is giving us an example of what it means to take on the sin, to take on this world, and really live our lives in a way that will change this world. That's the call of the cross, to ascend that cross, to make a difference in our world. And the world will experience Easter Day. The world will experience that new life. The world will experience the life that God sees in us, that God sees in this creation, the vision that God had at creation for us to live into fully as we move towards Sunday.